And welcome into Robbie and Rex Road here on ESPN 102.5 The Game. Robbie Stanley, Joe Rex Road, Ryan Porth taking you through this Friday. It's a huge day, fellas. A huge day in the lives of our country. The Mandalorian Season 2 today.
That is exciting.
I'm fired up. Day 4 Halloween. It's a good day.
I didn't even know that until you tweeted a video preview of the show last night, and you mentioned The Mandalorian. I'm like, I mean, we'd kind of been talking about it. That's big in our house. We're big Mandalorian fans, but I didn't even realize it was today.
Oh, yeah.
So it's all available today.
I think they're going to do the one episode at a time thing.
Okay, they're doing that, right? Yeah,
yeah, I'm cool with, because if they didn't do that and they released the whole thing, I'd have it all watched by the end of today.
Yeah.
So I would just be useless. And then I'd have to go back and watch the whole thing over again like 5 times. Spreading it out a little bit is better for me.
Yeah, I like that fine too. Some people, it's interesting the decision to do that or not do that. Some people really, because we've done that where they download a whole, I think, the Ozark.
Yeah.
The whole thing.
Oh, yeah.
It's like, we just watch 4. We're going to watch 5. It's 2 in the morning. You know?
Just keep going.
Yeah. Now, I'm assuming Porth not excited about Mandalorian. You've never
heard of Star Wars. I have no idea what you guys are talking about.
Have you ever had movie popcorn? Have you ever?
Yes.
Okay, good. All right.
Do you know what's going on in the world?
I have no idea what's going on in the world outside of Nashville, Tennessee. Is there something big going on next week?
Yeah. Maybe.
Man, yeah. It's an interesting few days here.
I mean, the biggest thing going on next week is the NFL trade deadline.
Yeah, NFL trade deadline.
That's right.
Tuesday.
That is the biggest thing happening Tuesday. That is Tuesday. That's an interesting, too. When you're the NFL and you set the trading deadline, did you consider? I mean, it's not like you can't do it on a particular, if something newsworthy is happening on that day, but still, like, that's a weird day for it, isn't it? A little bit.
Well, I mean, typically not much happens on that day.
That's
on the NFL trading deadline. Maybe a little different this year.
Yeah.
But
I mean, there's been
not
some
a whole lot happens.
Right. Well, there's been some trades. I think there's more trades already than probably in a lot of years. I mean, a lot of
probably
years.
So.
It used to be like it's not even a thing. It almost feels like the NFL is like they want their teams to, like, come on, guys, look at hockey and basketball and baseball.
Do something.
Yeah, let's make the trade deadline fun.
I feel like the last couple years, though, it's been this way.
Yeah.
Like it's progressing into a point where it's a thing where 5 years ago it was just a blip on the radar.
Yeah. I mean, there's actually been some somewhat significant moves. I mean, it's just I think obviously it's why is it not a big thing? I mean, it's just the nature of contracts makes it that way, right?
Yeah.
The NFL compared to other sports.
Like, remember when Roy Williams was traded from the Lions to the Cowboys in the middle of the season? It was like, oh, that's a huge NFL trade in the middle of a season. What is this?
Right. Gosh, good memory.
And now it's just, you know, ho-hum.
Yeah. I think there'll be probably a deal or two to come. Maybe Stephon Gilmore.
Ooh.
Somewhere.
You know, his house is on the market.
Yeah. Well, there you go.
According to the people in Boston.
That's all you need to know.
And you got to have the offers in by Tuesday.
Oh, I saw it. Right,
which,
right. Yeah.
To me, what do you care? Why do the offers have to be in
right.
by Tuesday?
You could still sell,
you could still sell the house if you're not there.
Right. Once I leave town, I can't sell this thing anymore.
It's got to be gone.
Yeah, real estate in the sports world, it's amazing.
Have you ever been on like a big real estate watch? Like, do you you know how people used to like try to track the flights when
Gruden's
coming. Gruden's coming to Knoxville.
I've done that.
You do some real estate tracking too?
See
who puts their house on the market?
I don't think so. It's basically always just been like, oh, I hear X is either buying or selling, and then it's on a message board, and then it turns out to not be true.
Mm.
Have you ever stood on somebody's front lawn waiting for them to come out like Brett Favre?
Yeah. Well, I haven't been in that situation quite like you're talking about, but I've definitely gone to people's houses before. You can ask Tom Izzo about that sometime.
That doesn't sound crazy at all.
Just knocking on the door outside the window.
I've definitely gone to some people's houses before.
Well, Tom, I'm here.
Yeah, he was somewhat stunned by that visit that particular night. I think his family was too. Sometimes you gotta just show up, man. You know.
Now
find out what the heck is going on.
Well, now you got those ring doorbells. They could just talk to you through the camera.
Yeah.
Yes. Like, oh, it's Rex Road out there.
This is back in the olden days. I have staked out his office, though, by the way. Ooh. All of us sitting on the grassy hill waiting to see if he was going to the Cavaliers or not for a couple days. TV trucks, just like, you know, oh, there he goes. I think he's going to the bathroom. I can see him through the window, you know. Pretty weird stuff, man.
This is getting progressively creepier.
Yeah, sorry. I'm just saying. Yeah. Like, oh, wow, he's making a phone call in his office. Looks like he might be organizing his shelves now.
He's going to Virginia. Oh, what a time. All right.
No, the Cleveland Cavaliers.
Oh, the actual Cavaliers.
Yeah. That was the summer of LeBron. It was possibly going to be Izzo and LeBron. And if LeBron would have said, I'm staying in Cleveland, then I think he would have gone. But LeBron obviously wasn't going to say that. And then shortly after Izzo decided to say, LeBron does the decision. So, yeah, 10 years ago.
Thank you, Tom Izzo. I appreciate that decision.
Yeah, worked out well for you, didn't
it? Sure did.
Yes.
Go Heat. Big news coming down last night in the world of college football. Trevor Lawrence testing positive for COVID-19. He will miss Saturday's game against Boston College. And then we'll see the next week's big game against Notre Dame. I think the ACC's got a policy where 10 days after you start showing symptoms, you've got to get through 10 days. So kind of some confusion right now on exactly when he started showing symptoms, when he was tested, what his availability will be for the Notre Dame game next week. But obviously some huge news in college football. Trevor Lawrence, the presumptive number one pick in next year's NFL draft, testing positive for COVID-19. And here is what SEC Commissioner Greg Sankey had to say about learning about Lawrence testing positive.
Obviously hope for his good health, good recovery. We've had young people go through it well. You know, nothing is surprising, and these things can happen. I think it's a tribute to the testing protocol. I'm certain Clemson, like our member universities, are prepared for these realities. You have to adjust. You know, there's a sign when you walk in the door of the Southeastern Conference that says, be flexible, ... And you know, that's our reality. But we first and foremost wish Trevor good health and speedy recovery. Same for anybody touched by this. And then those that have been healthy to stay healthy. And, you know, Saturday will be a little different than what they may have thought on Monday. But we're all having to adjust.
So, Joe, obviously a lot of programs in college football have dealt with COVID-19. It's been really affected everybody in some way, shape, or form so far. We knew there was a good chance, or at least a decent chance somewhere along the line, that a really, really high-profile football player in college football could get it, and now we have that with Trevor Lawrence.
Yeah, it's an interesting situation because apparently they're not concerned at this point. Of course, things can change. We know about the incubation period, but like an outbreak, he lives alone.
Yeah.
So right now it looks isolated with him, and also, you know, like you said, Robbie, they're not totally sure on the timing here. You know, this is one of those things where if you, like, you could say, I actually had symptoms starting a couple days ago, and you could move your clock up.
Yeah.
But right now, the way it times out with when he got the test and everything, he would potentially be able to be cleared for the Notre Dame game, but not to travel Friday. So, you know, we could be talking about like the Trevor Lawrence helicopter into Notre Dame on Saturday morning,
speeding along in like just a Ford truck, just going into South Bend. Oh,
like Smokey and the Bandit. Yeah. But you know, it's obviously. I mean, look, we knew this was going to happen. We've been talking about this all along. Like, there's going to be, significant players who get this. And I mean, the way the virus is going right now. I feel like every few minutes there's something new. There's someone new, a coach, a player, who gets it. Obviously, you hope he's fine and is okay to play next week. This also, you know, in terms of the football itself, frankly, they probably beat Notre Dame without him too. I mean, maybe I'm wrong on that. We have to get ourselves used to these names that are coming for Clemson.
Yes.
So I don't know if you have any idea how to say it, but.
Well, Peter Burns put out a tweet last night, and I'll have to find it, but it's pretty funny because now, you know, Clemson's backup quarterback. You're having to learn how to pronounce his name. And the first part of it's pretty easy. It's DJ. And the last name apparently is Uiagalelei. Uiagalelei. That's it.
Because I was actually hoping it was just like ukulele.
It's not ukulele.
Uiaga. Yeah, Uiagalelei.
Yeah.
Okay. So he's
Yitor Gross Matos.
Yeah, Gross Matos. But then there's also Tyson Pamachan.
Yeah.
Okay. So now Uiagalelei. Okay. Is that what you just said? Uiagalelei.
That's not what I just said.
Oh my gosh. Well, by the way, he's a 5-star recruit from California, the nation's number one pro style quarterback, 6'4", 250.
Uiagalelei.
Uiagalelei.
Yes.
All right. I mean,
there's an N somewhere. There's an N somewhere in there, but there's no N in the spelling of his name.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah, but that happens.
According to Peter Burns. And Peter Burns, the first part of that tweet was, I'm going to need a supercut of every sports radio host pronouncing this guy's name for the first time.
I love
time
how you just bailed there. They said this guy's name. He wasn't even going to try to pronounce it.
Uiagalelei. Uiagalelei. I mean, yeah.
DJ Uiagalelei.
This is
DJ Ukulele.
Yes.
Ukulele. Yeah. If ukulele was a cooler instrument, that you know, you could have some marketing potential here.
Do you have something against ukuleles?
No, I mean they're fine, but I mean it's not like an electric guitar.
No.
You know, it's cool.
Doesn't have the same pop to it.
Yeah, but 6'4", 250, this guy.
I don't know about you. I'm shocked that whoever the backup is at Clemson is pretty good.
Yeah, as a 5-star.
Yeah.
Yeah, number one ranked guy in the country. So, this is obviously a big deal in sports. I mean, there's the virus right now is sort of coming back as a big deal in college football, you know, not just with Trevor Lawrence. I mean, the Big Ten already immediately you've got issues there. I know we're going to talk more about that later, but it's not going well right now.
It's not going well. And the good news for Trevor Lawrence, apparently some very mild symptoms for him. So it looks like he's going to be okay. And obviously, I think sometimes we get lost in this and forget about, you know, the actual people that it's affecting. Look, Trevor Lawrence is probably going to be okay, but you never want to assume that everyone's going to be okay when they get this virus. So
right, and also they can spread it to people
exactly
who won't be. I mean, that's the whole problem.
Exactly. So best of luck to Trevor Lawrence. Wish him well in his recovery, and we'll see what this means for him and potentially the Notre Dame game next week. But when we come back, we'll discuss how does this news affect potentially the college football playoff. We'll talk about that on the other side. This is Robbie and Rex Road here on ESPN 102.5 The Game. Welcome back in, Robbie and Rex Road here on ESPN 102.5 The Game. Robbie Stanley, Joe Rex Road, Ryan Porth taking you through this Friday morning here in Nashville, Tennessee. Joe, we were talking last segment, Trevor Lawrence testing positive for COVID-19 will not play this Saturday for Clemson. We will see what his status is next Saturday against Notre Dame. It's interesting now to think about the football side of this. How does this affect potentially Clemson moving forward here this week and maybe into next week against Notre Dame? And how does that affect the college football playoff? Reese Davis from ESPN offered his thoughts on that last night. Here's what Reese Davis had to say.
If they were to stumble, or if any team were to stumble without one of its, you know, one of its key players because of something like this, I don't think you erase the loss. But you can. It is also reasonable to look at it and say, okay, without this player, you know, they're one thing, but with him, they're quite another. So, you know, I think that it's not that the loss would be erased, but, you know, maybe depending on how they play once the player returns, whether it's Trevor or anyone else, then you evaluate the team for what it is at that moment. And that's really what the committee's charge is. So I don't think from their standpoint, other than it appearing to be a lot stickier, I'm not so sure that their process is any different at all.
So, Joe, what do you make of maybe the possibility that if Clemson slips up this weekend against Boston College, which I still think is highly unlikely, or if he can't play next week against Notre Dame and they lose that game, how do you think that will and should affect Clemson in the college football playoff picture?
Yeah, well, it's going to be interesting. We just talked about the Big Ten possibility, the Big Ten scenario, version of this, which is – you know, Justin Fields, and or even just like games lost by Ohio State, you know, whatever, and what would that do? So, look, like if they lose at Notre Dame, here's the thing with Lawrence next week. Now, we expect him to recover from this and be able to come back and play and be fine, but he certainly could be ill and be, you know, out of commission in terms of the things that you do during a season. And then you're talking about not being around anybody, and I know you can do all the game playing stuff, but no practice at all. Is Dabo going to be like, yeah, come on out and just get up here on Saturday and you're – let's go. Here's the ball. I don't know about that. I'm a little bit dubious on that. And I think if not, you know, certainly I could see Notre Dame playing its best game and possibly beating them. So what would that mean? I mean, and then if Clemson, Lawrence comes back and then they just tear through everybody like they probably will, man, I still think they would get in. But I don't know. I mean, I'm sure there would be interesting discussion in there, but you're talking about the person that a lot of people believe is the best player in the entire sport.
Yeah.
I mean, I would think that they would be fine.
I would think so, too. I mean, right now, this game on Saturday, I don't think you're overly worried about if you're a Clemson fan. They're a 23.5-point favorite.
So what if you lost that one?
That one
might be different.
That may be a little different because Boston College, I don't think, is all that good. They're 4-2. They're a nice team, but they're not really a player nationally here. I think Clemson will be fine. I think you could really turn around and hand the ball off to Travis Etienne and probably be fine in that game with Clemson's defense and everything they've got going for them. So I'm not as concerned about that one. The Notre Dame one is interesting to me because, you know, until Notre Dame proves otherwise to me that they're not criminally overrated every year, I just assume they're criminally overrated every year. But if you go out and you beat Clemson, even if it is without Trevor Lawrence, I mean, you're talking – Clemson is not just Trevor Lawrence. You know, Trevor Lawrence is – obviously very good. I do think he's the best player in the nation. But Clemson's pretty good, pretty much in every spot outside of quarterback as well. So I still think Clemson's probably going to be favored in that game against Notre Dame, even without Trevor Lawrence. If you lose, especially if it's close, I think if you're Clemson, it's pretty easy to point and say, well, we didn't have our best player in this game. What would have happened if we did? But also, I can't be a hypocrite and go back to what I said yesterday. The record has to matter in this discussion as well. I mean, so trying to find that balance of how much does the record matter and how much do you factor in that you didn't have Trevor Lawrence, especially in a year like this, that's where the College Football Playoff Committee's job, I think, gets a little bit more difficult.
Well, and you can look at this. What about Notre Dame in particular? You know, so Notre Dame gets this win, let's say, without Trevor Lawrence, they go all the way through. You know, I mean, so you're also discrediting that from them.
Yep.
How do they not have a claim? And then if you play that out with, you know, Ohio State doing what we expect, and then say the Alabama Georgia thing we've talked about happens, and that, then it gets pretty interesting. I mean, Notre Dame basically, you know, what has Notre Dame done? I mean, at Pitt, 45-3 kind of impresses me. I mean, I watched a lot of that Louisville game. My gosh, awful.
Not good.
A 12-7 win. Even beating Florida State 42-26, yeah, I don't think they're very good based on what we've seen. Ian Book's okay. But if they got that win, they do have a game at North Carolina, you know, which to me would say something if you went there and won. But if they got that win without Trevor Lawrence and they ran the table, boy, I mean, they have to get a spot, right?
You would think.
Because the thing is, I agree with what you said there on both fronts. Trevor Lawrence is the best player, but Clemson is loaded. I mean, Clemson is Alabama, Ohio State, but I honestly think Ohio State and Clemson are the two most talented teams.
Well, and there's a chance. There's a chance, even if, so let's say Notre Dame wins next week with Trevor Lawrence out, assuming Trevor Lawrence would be out, they could play again in the ACC title game.
Yeah, and that could sort it out.
The title game in the ACC this year is a little bit different than it has been in years past. They're not really breaking it down by division. It's the league's two highest winning percentages they're going to play in the ACC title game, which, number one, I kind of like. I think it's a lot of times, especially in the SEC, it kind of works out that way anyway. But in the ACC, I like it. I think if you're Clemson, that could be your shot. If you lose the game to Notre Dame without Trevor Lawrence, there's a decent chance you could see them again. And if you go out and then hammer Notre Dame with Trevor Lawrence, that may make your argument for you at the end of the season.
And if anybody's confused by this, by the way, Notre Dame is still an independent.
Yes.
But this year, they are agreeing to, they're eligible to play. And I assume this is, as of now, it's 1 year only. They'll go back to being independent and their own TV deal and, get all that money for themselves. But in this particular year, this is a year. See, Notre Dame at that point, if this happens, they're like, hey, actually, can we go back to being independent? We'll just be undefeated. We don't need to play them again. Thank you. But, yeah, that can sort it out. But I think Clemson, I think it's going to be awfully hard to make the case that Clemson shouldn't be in if they lose anything, if they lose to a decent team without Trevor Lawrence.
Yeah, and you look around the country right now. We were talking yesterday about trying to find that fourth team. And, Porth is over there waving his Cincinnati flag right now through the glass. Well, I mean, an undefeated Cincinnati team or a one-loss Clemson team without Trevor Lawrence in that game, who are you taking?
Yeah.
I'm going Clemson.
Yeah, I mean, it's just – I mean, I'm sorry. Like, there's a certain – I do have that certain sense of, well, they've earned it, and by golly, how can you take that away from an undefeated team? But also I have a sense of, I like to watch the best football possible. All due respect to Cincinnati, I'd love to see Cincinnati make a run.
With all due respect.
All due respect.
At least
I don't want to offend you, but here, let me offend you.
At least you threw in with all due respect.
That's what we learned in the Talladega Nights, right? With all due respect, you could say whatever you want to.
That's
after
right.
That.
Or like, I don't mean to offend anyone, but
let me
here
tell
comes
you.
Something highly offensive out of my mouth. Yeah. Hey, I'm rooting for the Bearcats. I am.
Are you?
I like the Bearcats.
You big Bearcats
Thank
guy?
You, Joe.
I like the Bearcats, man. Yeah,
what is a Bearcat?
Hey, the Bearcats are a cradle of coaches, man.
Yeah.
You know? You think about some of the coaches that have come out of there.
What is a Bearcat? Do you know?
Actually, I don't.
Porth, what's a Bearcat?
Is that a real thing?
Yes, there is a Bearcat at the Cincinnati Zoo. When you're up there this weekend, Joe, you can go see the Bearcat at the Cincinnati Zoo.
Really?
Well, what is it?
What does
it look like?
It's like a little it is really hard to describe.
It's a mythical creature.
It's a cat that has this intense look to it.
So it's a straight up cat.
It is.
It's
a cat.
Not actually a hybrid bear cat. Not like a liger.
It's in the family.
So
I looked it up. It's kind of a real thing.
It looks
a real thing. It is 100%
a real thing.
It's
not really called a bear cat.
Is it
it's
a
called
mink?
A word I can't pronounce, but
it looks like a mink.
I don't know.
Is it easier pronounced than the Clemson backup quarterback?
Probably so.
Give us the first few letters.
Well, okay. The first few letters are B-I-N-T. Bintu Rong is the official pronunciation.
That is.
Okay.
Yeah.
I don't know that is it rare that it would be at the Cincinnati Zoo? Like, is this a big attraction at the Cincinnati Zoo? Like, that they actually have a Bearcat?
Oh, yeah.
Really?
The Cincinnati Zoo has been known to mishandle some things. So.
I've actually been to the Cincinnati Zoo, now that you mention it.
And you don't remember seeing the Bearcat?
I don't.
Did you see Harambe?
When my family wakes up, I will ask them if we saw
when
the
did
Bearcat.
You go?
So my wife's sister, they lived there for many years. So we're talking, kids were younger. We're talking probably 5-6 years ago.
So maybe Harambe was alive at that time.
That was right around
that
Harambe
was at Cincinnati?
Time.
That was
Cincinnati. I didn't realize that
I'm pretty
either.
Sure that was Cincinnati.
I was at the zoo and I had no idea it was such an amazing mythical place.
You'll have to go
back.
You
have to go back there Saturday.
This weekend when you're there for Titans Bengals, you'll have to go back. But we agree. Clemson, I still think they're going to win both these games. I'll just go on and throw that out there. Even if Trevor Lawrence isn't playing, I think they'll win both of these games. But if they lose to Notre Dame and then come back and steamroll everybody, to me, you got to put them in the playoff. Like, I just think that's my position on it. Especially with the amount of games. You assume every game gets played, so they're going to end up playing 11 games, 12 games, whatever it is, with the ACC championship game in there. You got to put them in.
Yeah. It's hard for me to imagine them not being in.
Yeah.
Unless they lose, like, two.
Wow. You think they could lose to Boston College
Notre
Dame?
I'm just saying unless they do. I don't think they can.
Okay. I just wanted to point that out to get some clarification there.
Yeah, put them in.
When we come back, Dan Orlovsky joined us yesterday and had some very interesting comments on Cincinnati Bengals quarterback Joe Burrow. We'll react to those next. This is Robbie and Rex Road on ESPN 102.5 The Game. Saturday, November 14th, support Stars by running, walking, or boogieing for the Nashville Striders' 20th annual Shelby Bottoms Boogie 15K and 5K Run Walk, powered by Enterprise Rental Car. This event is perfect for the avid runner as well as the casual jogger, and it's on the certified course in the heart of Shelby Bottoms Park. You can also show your support and participate virtually. That's up to you. That's Saturday, November 14th for the Nashville Striders' Shelby Bottoms Boogie to benefit Stars and powered by Enterprise Rental Car. For more information, please visit starsnashville.org. That's starsnashville.org. Welcome back in. Robbie and Rex Road here on ESPN 102.5 The Game. Cincinnati has to change their name now. You just provided us off the air with the story of how they got the name Bearcat, and they've got to change their name. It's not good enough.
Yeah, I'm not going to go through the whole story that I just read on the University of Cincinnati.
You don't have to go through the whole thing.
Website, but a cheerleader back in 1914 gave them the name because they had a player named Bear, and they were playing Kentucky, and Kentucky fans were excited about the Wildcats, and they said, well, we got a Bearcat. So.
And here we are, 100 years later.
A lot of these team names, it's like, you know, like the local newspaper did a fan poll, and, you know, that's a better story than that.
Is it, though?
I think it's kind of cool.
Okay.
I can tell you the Michigan State Spartans at first, the fan poll in the Lansing State Journal came up with the Michigan State Michigan Staters.
Oh, what a name that would have been.
And then one of the sports writers just started like calling them the Spartans. And they're like, okay, I guess Spartans, great. I mean, there's a lot of, you know.
That guy saved it.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Think about that. The Michigan State Michigan Staters.
A lot of weird history in college athletics nicknames.
So. Yeah. And you know, when it's more than 100 years old, it's already kind of cool.
Yeah,
you know?
Okay.
Well, yeah.
All right. And I digress.
A bear cat is neither a bear nor cat, according to their website.
Thank you. Thanks for that.
But that's neither here nor there.
thank you for that clarification. We had Dan Orlovsky join us yesterday here on the show, ESPN NFL analyst, former NFL quarterback. And we were breaking down kind of Joe Burrow and what he looks like for Cincinnati and really asked him the question, if you had to build your franchise for the next 10 years, who would you pick to start that franchise? Joe Burrow or Trevor Lawrence? He had a very interesting response when talking about Joe Burrow. Here's what Dan Orlovsky had to say.
His ability to see the field is just so abnormal. It's so not typical of a young player in the NFL. He sees the field, and he operates their offense, and he makes the appropriate type of throw at such a high level that you go, man, that guy's playing for a long time. Man, you know, I just go, okay, once Cincinnati, fingers crossed, rebuilds their roster and gets some protection around him, I honestly think that Joe Burrow is going to win a Super Bowl in Cincinnati. As long as they do that, he is that good of a player.
So what do you make of those comments there by Orlovsky, Joe, about Burrow's ability to see the field, and ultimately Orlovsky believes he is good enough and talented enough that he is going to win a Super Bowl with the Bengals?
See, this is not at all planned by you or by Ryan. Incredible timing that my story just published with a picture of Joe Burrow about. It's actually a really cool story. I'm not going to lie. I'm pretty excited about it. But a lot of it is about Joe Burrow and this company in Nashville that does cognitive testing and how he is, of thousands of NFL, they have now, it's only been 5 years, but they test everybody at the combine. They go to pro day, they do all these things. They test everybody, okay? These two Vanderbilt professors who started their own company. And Joe Burrow is on their site because he is completely off the charts in cognitive testing, which may not sound that important to people, you know, because you think of strength and you think of arm and size and all that stuff. But let me give you some examples of these tests. Instinctive learning.
Yet another shameless plug from Joe
Rexroth. There we go. There we go. And it's just totally, and it's absolutely like you just led me right to it beautifully.
Thank you.
Impulse control, 97%. Visual learning, improvisation, instinctive learning. They have spatial awareness, all these things, okay? Spatial memory, perception speed. I took some of these tests. Anyway, the bottom line is his.
How'd you do?
I did poorly. I'm not a good athlete, nor am I a good brain person. I mean, I call myself a brain person instead of saying like something smarter than that. So,
it's okay.
Yeah. But Joe Burrow, completely off the charts, and actually the LSU is this program that has taken this. They were the first client. Like, their guys who went to the draft last year, their trainer down there told me, it's not just, yeah, they're great athletes, they're five-star guys, all that stuff. Like, almost all of them are what he calls elite processors. So, anyway, that helps me believe that Joe Burrow, and I think it confirms what we see from him, the guy is, it's not just that he has the tools, and he's not as impressive as a Trevor Lawrence, like we argued yesterday. But, man, you can see it out there. I mean, he sees things, and he makes those snap decisions, and, of course, he's accurate with the football and all that, too. And I think they've got – I'm with Dan. I mean, I think that they've got, if they don't screw it up, a chance to probably quickly elevate with him here.
And I said yesterday that I would probably take Lawrence. I think you really can't go wrong either way. I think Joe Burrow is really, really good. I think Trevor Lawrence is going to be a great player at the NFL level too. I was pretty much the only one who we talked to yesterday that felt that way, that Trevor Lawrence would be the guy that I would take to start the franchise. We had Bruce Feldman join us as well, offer his thoughts about Joe Burrow. Here's what Bruce Feldman had to say.
I'm not betting against Joe Burrow after everything I've seen. I know that's going to sound crazy because Trevor's 3 inches taller. He's going to probably run an even faster 40 time and has a much bigger arm. But Joe Burrow is going to uplift the thing that has been struggling. I mean, look what he did at LSU. Now, it wasn't only him. There was Clyde and there was Joe Brady and there was a bunch of other things in the Ogeron system that came together. But, again, you're talking about going to the Bengals. I mean, I don't know if Trevor Lawrence goes to the Bengals, he might be Carson Palmer there, which is good, but I'm hesitant. I am biased on this. I've just seen too much and heard too much about Joe Burrow to say there's somebody else who convinces me that he's going to do more to change a culture, not just be great.
So some strong comments there by Bruce Feldman. And look, you look at Burrow right now and what he's doing, it's pretty impressive. 66.6% of his passes have been completed. He's got an NFL-high 195 completions on 293 attempts, 2,023 passing yards, which is third in the league. They're asking him to do a lot right now in that offense, which you don't normally see from rookie quarterbacks. Usually you try to make things easier around him and ease him into, I guess, kind of developing your offense and being the central focal point of throwing the ball down the field and putting the game in his hands. They've obviously done that in Cincinnati. Now, some of that is maybe you don't have a choice. You're down in the game and he's got to come back and lead you down the field. But I do think there is a different level of confidence they have in his ability to process things and just the trust they have in him at a year, early age to get the job done. I mean, he's been pretty sensational when I've watched him so far.
Yeah, and here and there, he's made a couple throws that he'd like back, and probably you could say, oh, it looks like a rookie pick, but I mean, every quarterback in this league from time to time throws a bad pick, but I agree. I think they ask as much of him as I can think of a rookie quarterback. I mean, there's been rookie quarterbacks that have gone to bad situations. It's like, well, you're basically all we've got. Get out there and, you know, good luck, which, as we've talked about, didn't happen as much recently, but I think he's done a lot for them. They play that kind of offense. They throw it around. Like you said, a lot of it is their defense is bad. They're a bad team overall, so they have to be in that mode. But they're in that mode from the start. And I'd love to know from a comparison perspective, how many rookie QBs have come in right away and had that much put on their shoulders? I don't think it's a long list.
I don't think it is either. And Todd McShay with ESPN came out with just kind of a comparison list of the three quarterbacks this year from the rookie class that get all the headlines. You've got Joe Burrow with Cincinnati, Justin Herbert obviously right now with the Chargers, and then Tua making his first start this weekend for Miami. And it is interesting. McShay said, you know, of the three, Tua is probably physically the most gifted prospect of the three, but Burrow has been the most impressive. And McShay said that Burrow is as good in the pocket as any quarterback that I have ever evaluated. Pretty strong praise there from Todd McShay.
Oh, I thought you were going to play. I'm sorry.
I was waiting.
Okay. Okay, let's hear it.
No, that was an
that was in the article.
Story.
Yeah.
Yes. All right. Well, done.
I wanted to get your thoughts on
I like that.
On that.
Yes. Well, hey, I trust Todd McShay. Todd McShay is a good analyst. And, yeah, I mean, look, it's sometimes you look at LSU and it's like, okay, man, how many 14 guys drafted? You tie a record. You got, what, 10 or 11 in the first three rounds?
Yeah.
And it's like the Mac Jones discussion. Well, gosh, it's just how overwhelming is that talent? You could even look at Trevor Lawrence and say they beat everybody at every position, you know. But look at the guy play. He makes so much of that. And the thing about Burrow, too, is he's great in the pocket and decision, get the ball out of stuff. But also, from time to time, he'll make a ridiculous outside-the-pocket play. And, I mean, think about last year in that Georgia game. You know, one of the plays of the year that he's sacked, he's down, he ducks under, he heaves it downfield.
That's some Eli Manning to him, yeah.
Some Eli Manning to
him. In the Super Bowl.
Oh, right, yeah.
That,
okay.
Just that one play.
Right. I was like,
I'm not saying Eli's like some escape artist.
I was like, I didn't realize you were such an Eli Manning slappy.
Really love me some Eli Manning.
That now, was a great play.
Speaking of slappy, you're a big Tua slappy. Like, do you think of those two, who has the better career, Tua or Joe Burrow?
I would pick Burrow right now, but I'm excited to see Tua. I think Tua is much more of a risk taker. I still think arm talent, just pure arm talent, I would give the edge to Tua. But I think in terms of a lot of the other things, Burrow, I think last year stepped beyond him, you know.
Well, remember, like, Tua was supposed to be the guy that everybody was tanking for. Like,
right.
We talked about Miami getting Tua. We thought they were going to be like 0-16 getting Tua,
right,
and drafting him with the first overall pick. And then Joe Burrow came in and changed all that.
That's
and
how good
Miami
the SEC West
anyway.
Is. Yeah. You know, it's like, no, it'll be another SEC West quarterback that you tank for. Yeah, no, I mean, look, I think his arm talent is extremely rare, and he's athletic. He, as a decision maker sometimes, and that's where it is with him too. I mean, I don't think we've ever seen a better collection. When you think about these guys, Waddle and Smith with Judy and Ruggs, I don't think we've ever seen a better collection. In college football. So does that? How much is, you know? You can look at that and say, gosh, it's kind of easy for you when those receivers make your windows big. But he put the ball wherever he wanted to. So I'm excited to see him. If I had to guess right now, I think the safer route is Burrow.
When we come back, we'll put on our general manager hats and break down what moves the Titans could make at the NFL trading deadline, which is next Tuesday. That's next. This is Robbie and Rex Road here on ESPN 102.5 The Game. Welcome back in, Robbie and Rex Road here on ESPN 102.5 The Game. The Deal or No Deal music playing. Must be trading time this year in the NFL. We're getting close. November. It's almost here. Sunday is November.
I love Deal or No Deal.
Do you?
Oh, yeah.
It's a good show.
One of my favorite shows.
Yeah. Deal or No Deal is good.
I honestly, I'm trying to. Who was the host of Deal or No Deal?
It was Howie Mandel, I think, at one point. I don't know if he still is.
Howie Mandel.
Yeah.
Yeah. I didn't enjoy that slice of.
Is that the bald guy?
Yes.
Okay.
Yes,
he used to have like the big, curly, fluffy hair.
Yeah.
And he's a comedian from the 80s. Huh. Yeah. Now, Deal or No Deal, I think, was an old show, too, right?
I think it got a reboot. Yeah, I think so. Let's very quickly go to our text line driven by WilsonCountyHyundai.com. Tyler from Berry Hill texted in with a really good point. So I've always wondered with lefties like Tua, do you flip your typical left tackle to the right side to protect his blind side? Or does your right tackle have to have more put on their shoulders? If you don't flip the left tackle over, does that make him less valuable and thus a trade target for a team in need of help at left tackle? Wink, wink. Like the Tennessee Titans.
Yeah, that's an interesting. I mean, first of all, like the first part of that, I mean, that's the thing. Yeah, if you have a lefty quarterback, then you're protecting the blind side. I mean, so you're emphasizing right tackle. You need a great right tackle, but some left tackles can't just go to right tackle. I mean, usually if you have a great like Taylor Lewan, if he had a lefty QB, could he just go to the right side and be a great pass protecting right tackle? Probably, but some people are very much like, this is my side and I'm way better doing this than this. Good question. It's almost like the movie Inception right now as you're thinking about all the. It also shows you, I mean, how rare is it to have a lefty QB in this league?
Yeah, very rare.
I mean, the last time a prominent lefty QB played in the NFL was
Steve Young.
Steve Young, right? Yeah.
Not Mark Brunell.
Ooh.
Yeah, that's a good point. Yep. There you go. I was going to go back to Kenny the Snake Stabler.
Yeah, buddy. Here's some Kenny Stabler talk here on the show.
Is Mark Brunell the last one?
Probably. I can't think of another one.
I can't think of another one.
I can't either.
Well, wait, well, no. How about Michael Vick?
Well, there you go.
Well, yeah. All right.
All right.
We're idiots.
There Michael Vick. Okay. Let's just keep
naming lefty quarterbacks.
Let's keep talking about how wrong we are. But right, that's got to be the last one.
Yeah, got to be. Porth, you have some trade targets that you want to throw our way that maybe the Titans could be interested in as they move closer to the trading deadline on Tuesday.
Yes, I've got actual trade proposals.
Oh, boy.
Okay. And in the theme of the music that we just heard, you guys are going to say deal or no deal.
Oh.
As okay. to whether the Titans should make this trade.
I'm excited about this.
Okay. All right. The Titans acquire Stephon Gilmore from the New England Patriots for a second-round pick. Deal or no
Ooh.
Deal?
Second-round pick, Stephon Gilmore.
That's a quick no deal for me.
Quick?
Yep.
Not even thinking about it.
I'm not giving up that much for Stephon Gilmore.
I think that's a lot. I think
he was the defensive player of the year last year.
I understand.
Great. Put it on his mantle. What is he now, and what does this team need? And do you want to give up a second-round pick? He's 30.
It wasn't as quick for me. I will say no. No deal. But it's not as quick for me as it is Joe. I at least had to think about it. He's a pretty good player.
Huh? He is. He is a good player, and they would be better with him. I also still think that Adoree, Butler, a healthy, maturing Fulton, you feel pretty good about your cornerback situation. Would you rather have Gilmore in there with – you know, with Butler and Adoree, yeah. Yeah, you would rather have him. Certainly, you'd be better. And I know some people would be like, get rid of Butler. But, you know, that's probably not going to happen. But a second-round pick, if you're giving up draft capital like that, when you this team moving forward has to draft. And, I mean, we see a lot of these contracts coming up. They've got to have picks, and they've got to have picks that work. You've got to think a little bit long-term on this. And to immediately improve this team, cornerback is not what I'm looking at. It's not. I'm much more concerned with OT or pass rush.
The text line driven by WilsonCountyHyundai.com does not agree with you. It is Uh-oh. Lighting up the
Uh-oh.
Deals. Deals for Stephon Gilmore. People want Stephon Gilmore.
All right.
Yeah. All right. What do they
the
got?
Next proposal.
Okay.
Wide receiver A.J. Green from the Cincinnati Bengals for a fourth and a seventh round pick.
Ooh.
This comes from our friend Corey Benjamin at CBS Sports, who we don't even know, but we've been referencing his stories a lot.
I feel like I need to say no just out of principle for him, but that's interesting.
So deal or no deal? A.J. Green for a fourth and a seventh.
I don't even – I mean, I'm turning around laughing at that deal. No. Oh, my gosh, no.
Yeah, I'm not giving up a fourth-round pick at all, much less a fourth and a seventh.
Is it Corey
for
Benjamin?
A.J. Green?
Yes.
Like, we need a daily rip Corey Benjamin segment on the show.
I just don't – like, wide receiver right now, I feel like they're fine there right now. I mean, you've got A.J. Brown. You finally have those three healthy. A.J. Brown, Corey Davis, Adam Humphries, all on the field at the same time. Khalif Raymond is your four right now. I still think typically in a great – In ideal world, he'd be your five. But those three healthy right now, I mean, who are you moving out to bring in A.J. Green to – and you going to make A.J. Green your fourth wide receiver?
Right. That's what he'd be. I really believe that. I mean, A.J. Green, all due respect.
Thank you.
All due respect. You stink. No, I mean, hey, he's had a great career. He's been a great player.
It's not the same guy.
He's not anymore. I still think he could probably go somewhere and help someone. Yeah, I don't. I think the way Corey Davis is playing now, he's your fourth receiver, and you're going to give up two picks for that, including a fourth? No. No.
Next,
no deal, Corey Benjamin.
Next trade proposal. Titans acquire Riley Reiff, left tackle from the Minnesota Vikings, for a fourth-round pick.
Oh. That's your boy, Joe.
Ding, 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 ding. Is that how – I've never watched the show. What do they hit? No whammies? What, yeah, I'm in on that.
They don't do either one of
no
those
whammies.
Things.
What show was that?
The No Whammies?
Yeah.
That's your time, man.
You guys don't remember No Whammies?
That was pre-1992.
Right,
can't help you.
I'll find it on YouTube. People out there, help me out. You know what I'm talking about with the No Whammies. Do you guys know what The Price is Right is?
Yeah.
Okay. Like the Yodeler?
Oh, yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. All right, yes,
Porth,
I'm all in.
Would you like to yodel for us?
No.
Okay.
All right, so you're saying deal?
Uyaga Lele could yodel. Yes, I'm saying deal. I mean, fourth is you set it up perfectly there because fourth is very it's a fourth round pick is, and I still think, a valuable commodity, but I mean, to get him, and again, look, what this would be is, I mean, I think his base this year is 5'9". You could make it work with the money, you know, prorated, and he has a big deal, and you're probably, you know, you may be cutting him after this year. But you bring that guy in, and now you have a legit left tackle to go with Kelly, and now you have swing tackle Sombrilo. I think you can really just keep it where you're at offensively, and I would do it. I would absolutely do it.
Give me the deal.
The Vikings are shedding salary, man.
Give me the deal. I think it makes sense. To me, this is basically, I don't have a lot of faith in Isaiah Wilson, and if they have one more injury at tackle, they are in serious trouble. To me, I think it makes it worth it from that standpoint alone. I'm taking the deal. Bring in Riley Reiff.
All right. The final trade proposal.
Okay.
The Tennessee Titans acquire outside linebacker Ryan Kerrigan from the WFTs for a third-round pick.
Third round.
I like the idea of him. A third-rounder is...
By the way, WFT is a Washington football team, for those wondering.
Yeah, in case you were saying WTF out there, that's what WFT is.
A lot of fans of the WFTs say
maybe
WTF
saying that.
While watching their team.
Although they did just get a big win.
By the way, Murph.
Over the Cowboys.
Murph tweets in, no whammies is pressure luck.
Pressure luck, thank you. Who's that, Murph?
Murph on Twitter, yes.
Wait, Murph?
Murph.
Okay, so it wasn't Merv Griffin telling me this. All right, Murph. Thank you, Murph. Yeah, press your luck. That's a great show. You guys got to check out some YouTube on some no whammies.
We'll see if we can do it. Are you taking this deal?
I'm Googling Ryan Kerrigan because I want to know his age.
He's 32. He has 4 sacks this season.
I mean, I understand this is a rental. But
you talk about blowing Clowney and Beasley's production from a sack standpoint out of the water. 4?
Yeah.
Trying to get to 1.
Ryan Kerrigan, again, like, you know, I covered him, you know, in college, like watched a lot of him in college. He's been great in the NFL. He's like an underrated guy over all these years. Really good player. Third round pick. You know, I'm going to say no deal on that. I mean, I think about it, but I don't know exactly how he fits in here. Also, I mean, look, this probably shouldn't even factor into it, but like if I'm John Robinson right now, then I'm giving up a pretty nice piece of draft capital to admit that I totally blew this. You know, I mean, now that maybe that shouldn't come into the discussion. Like,
you got to get over that. Yes.
Yeah,
give me the deal. Give me the deal.
You're
they need
it?
Help.
Yeah.
If they don't improve the pass rush, they have no chance of winning in the playoffs. They can't win. You cannot win a Super Bowl with their pass rush how it's constructed right now. Good luck.
So you think it's hopeless?
Hopeless right
yeah.
now?
Yeah.
Yeah.
No,
I do.
I mean, like, hopeless moving forward. Like, there's no way that these guys will figure it out.
Well, no, I'm not saying that. But what evidence do we have at this point that they're just going to magically, the light switch is going to flip on and they're going to be, you know, this adequate pass rush? Right now, they're not adequate.
Yeah.
They're awful.
No,
at
I agree.
Pass rush.
I agree.
And I think you've got to take that deal.
Can I make it a fourth? Then I might do it. Can I drop it down to a fourth?
No.
No. Some negotiating
third
here.
Third round pick.
Got to be the third.
This is non-negotiable. By the way, Billy on Twitter says he would trade Jonathan Joseph for a bag of Cheetos and a Gatorade to be named later.
Ooh, didn't even specify the Gatorade flavor. Just a Gatorade to be named later.
I mean, that frost, I like that frost flavor. You got to tell us the flavor.
Yeah, I mean, that's really important.
And is it fire Cheetos? Because that's,
those are pretty good.
Those are
pretty fire.
Yes,
oh, boy, that was the worst dad joke I've made in a very long time.
That was toxic.
When we come back, our good friend Ryan McGee from ESPN will join us. We'll dive into some college football talk with him. That's next. This is Robbie and Rexroad live from the Wholesaling Studio, powered by RumbleOn.com, here on ESPN 102.5 The Game.